Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections, a look at issues and happenings on Classic Hits 107.1 WHJB. Here now is your host, Jennifer Mealy, Chief Communications Officer and Managing Director of Evangelization of the Diocese of Greensburg.
Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. So happy to be here today with Mary Blythe. She's the Director of Faith Formation at St. Agnes Parish in North Huntington Township. And survived a terrible accident just a few months ago and is making a comeback. And I thought she would be the perfect person to talk about being thankful for the life that we have, for the gifts that we're given this Thanksgiving on our radio show. And Mary also does so much in the community. I'm sure everyone who is from that area recognizes her name. Mary, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jennifer. I'm glad to be here.
Mary, tell us a little bit about yourself to set the stage, where you grew up, what your education is, and how you got into your line of work.
Well, I was born in Florida. My dad was in the Air Force, and shortly, around 5 years old, we ended up moving back to Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and Penn Hills, to be exact. And when my husband and I got married, we ended up in North Huntington because of his job was up and down Route 30. He was a salesman, and the midway point of his territory was North Huntington, Irwin area. We really knew nothing about Irwin, but we love it here. We've raised our 5 children here. We have 16 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild, and so this is still home base for our children, who are all over the world, really. They're in various parts. Really, when I started school, I thought, well, I'll be a substitute teacher in the public school. We have a wonderful system here in Norwood. But I had no idea that things would open up in my own parish. And so I got to use my teaching, things that I learned, and it's been a wonderful journey since then.
So, Mary, you and I, met in the North Huntington community. Our family, has attended several events that you have organized. Many people in the community have attended your events. And you were even supposed to be a major part of a women's conference in Greensburg, but then a terrible accident happened. I'd like you to start from the beginning. Tell us what happened.
Well, as I have done for the last many summers, we had, I was completing a confirmation, quote unquote, boot camp, we call it, kind of Catholicism 101 for 13-year-olds, mm-hmm. Which is a preparatory for their confirmation in this year. And I had completed that day, the fourth day of it. We were running it's a half-day program. And I'm also in the process of, hopefully, I'll be able to complete my certificate in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is a teaching model that I felt would be kind of a legacy I could leave my parish if I got involved in that when I do finally retire as the Director of Faith Formation. So anyhow, I was on my way to Indiana that afternoon after the completion of camp to attend a makeup for one of the course days that I had missed earlier in the year for the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And it was difficult. They took me away in an ambulance. But there was a woman there that appeared as the accident happened, came right to my side of the door and said, "Can I help you?" and called my husband for me, which was another really awesome thing, because I don't know how long it would have been. And he was actually able to, come and assist me. And the ambulance people were marvelous. I got to the hospital, and I don't think I was fully aware of all the injuries that I had. I was aware of the accident and everything, but that just kind of unfolded. And that's another beautiful thing, because even some of the injuries, the worst of them now, I've never had really severe pain. It's been a road. One thing that's probably been the toughest is my immobility. Excuse me. In other words, I've always been on the go and done a lot of things and been kind of independent, if you will. And now I'm not. I have to kind of wait until others can take me places, and my recovery is coming along, but it's slow. And so I've had to learn to be patient. I think that's been the operative word, patient, and just extremely grateful that I am here and I'm able to continue work. My work has been wonderful. Mary, would you like the laptop? And Yes, and so I can connect and do my work, but I miss the physical aspect of it, but very grateful. Wonderful teams around me and people who really stepped up to the plate, and it's felt very seamless, I think, in a lot of ways. Maybe they wouldn't say that, but
no, I think they would. So where were you? Were you on Route 22 or
yes, 119? Yes, I was on Route 22
on my way. What happened?
One minute I was, again, like you're focusing or whatever, but I guess I lost my focus. So,
and you crossed, did you cross the line, Mary, or off the road?
It was thankfully in my lane and everything. So, but you know, like I said, God is good. And, I think we often talk about, we talk about things happening in our lives. We never know for sure how our world's going to change, and mine changed that day.
I know, but and you were so when you got to the hospital, did they take you? Where did they take you? Indiana, or did they take you?
No, actually, they took me to Forbes. When I the final result when I got there, again, like I said, everyone was wonderful in the process, but I was in a neck brace and on a board for my back. And the final result was I ended up breaking a bone called the talus bone in my ankle, which I don't know much about anatomy, but it's a small bone that needs it has a poor blood supply. So part of the problem with my being non-weight bearing all this time is that it just is slow in receiving that full blood supply. And what you don't want to do is have it die, because then that involves a lot more surgeries and things down the road. And I am relatively mobile and vital, and I want to keep that up. So, but I broke that bone. So I had to have surgery for that bone. That actually the very next day they were able to take me into the rotation and do that. I broke two vertebrae in my back, and those were still, one was a compression fracture, the other was a burst fracture, which means it's still
healing. What does that mean? What that a compression versus a burst? I'm sure you learned a lot about that.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I'll give you the best description. Because I'll be honest with you, Jennifer, there were several other things. 5 broken ribs, my sternum was broken, broke 2 toes on my right foot in 2 places. So I was really, really not weight bearing for a while. I couldn't put weight on either foot. But when I went to the back doctor, finally, she said, you'll understand this explanation because you're from Pittsburgh. You know Klondike bar? So we'll pretend your lumbar are like a Klondike bar. And what's happened is you've broken or shattered, like in pieces, the top layer of the chocolate. And that's the bones that we have to look, because those are the bones, those pieces that shards can go into your spinal column and cause you to be paralyzed. And I thankfully, as you can see, I have all movement of my body parts. So praise God. That really was a blessing for this. But it'll take time to heal. And so the inside of that, the compression fracture, is when the inside of your bone begins to, if it's like airy osteoporosis, this is a problem. It collapses, and mine collapsed a little bit, but didn't fracture in the top vertebrae that I broke, or lumbar, I should say. So that one, there's treatment for that. There's injections they can do down the road, but it's basically the lowest one. Number one is the one that was shattered. So, you know, we're working, and I just went back last week, and she said, Mary, you're looking good. You're healing well. It's just going to be some time. And here's one other little caveat to all of this. So I had a laceration on my knee, the same leg that I broke the ankle. And as I said, I really had no pain. I still haven't. It's uncomfortable. I'm wearing a big boot. But when the doctor told me about my spine, when I came into her office the first time, 8 weeks after the accident, she said, what happened to your leg? You know, in the emergency room, everybody takes a look at their individual parts. They put you back together, but they're not really necessarily consulting as you move forward. And she said, what happened to your leg? Was that from the accident? And I said, yeah. And I explained to her I was non-weight bearing. And she said, oh, so you haven't been standing on your back? You've been in the wheelchair? And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, oh, not a bad thing. Actually, probably really good for your back. And I'm like, wow, God, that's awesome. Your plan is so great. Because I've been grumbling, I'll be honest with you, grumbling about my leg, not being able to walk on it. So it, again, when I say it's super blessed experience, I know people think I'm crazy when I say that, but I'm learning a lot about myself. I'm learning to be patient, and I'm very grateful for all of that. And just prayers for everyone involved. And, you know, so.
So Mary, yeah. what about rehabilitation? You know, what happens now? Do you go to rehab? Do you do those things?
Yeah, after the accident, I was in the hospital 7 days, and then I ended up over in a rehab center for almost 3 weeks, where they helped me to, first of all, get back on my feet. I had to be able to transition from the bed to the wheelchair, which I would, you know, back to bed, that kind of a thing. So I learned how to do all that, and they gave me exercises. And of course, when I left there, I had in-home rehab as well. Which is very common, you know, in something like this, where they came to check on my surgical wounds, and to also teach me each week, taught me something different to be able to transition. I was so excited when I could finally get in the wheelchair, get out of the house, get in the car. That, believe it or not, doesn't sound like, but it's great when you don't do those things and can't do them, and then you can finally do them. And the first thing I did was go to church, which I was super happy about. See all my peeps and, you know, just kind of see everybody. It was a real morale boost. Then there was a period of time where I did no physical therapy, because they taught me everything I could do being non-weight bearing, not being able to put weight on my, you know, my ankle to help the healing process. So I just started physical therapy back again this week for my back. So I'm still non-weight bearing, except a little bit of time on my ankle. And when I'm weight bearing again on that, then I'll start a regimen of therapy for my ankle, just to get it conditioned again and make sure that I can, I don't know about run, but, you know, they can keep up with everybody.
So it's really the ankle injury, no longer the back injury, that's keeping you from being able to get out of the wheelchair at this point.
Right. And again, right now in the last 10 days or so, I'm probably saying about 70% in the wheelchair. It's just easier to move around quicker. And really, the goal is to be on my, I have a walker. And so now to be a little bit more on that, moving around within the house, or I mean, I actually went up to work a couple of days since then now, so I could work for a couple of hours and just sit down. And he said to me, if it starts to bother you, throb or anything, then you stop and wait a day and then start up again. So it's a very, very slow process, but it's been good. So, yep.
That's a lot. And then I'm sure you've had a lot of help from your husband and friends and family. I mean, so are you, you know, you're probably saying, honey, can you get me this? Honey, I need you to do this.
To his credit, God love him. Yes, that's exactly right, Jennifer, because I've really just been on the main floor of our house. Thankfully, our bedroom's on the main floor. So that's really, you know, but I haven't been up or down, so I can't do laundry, which that's kind of nice. But yeah, he said, he always will very graciously say to people, she's very kind. She simply says, hon, can you do me a favor? Of course, the favors are a lot more involved than they ever used to be. But that's again, when you're independent and, you know, we just take some things for granted, I think. And sounds very simple. I do the best that I can. I can, you know, do the dishes, put dishes in the dishwasher and things like that. And I'm just finally now starting to do a little more cooking. I was not comfortable being in the wheelchair, not weight bearing, and trying to be around the stove and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, but now I can do that. And people were so gracious too. They did a meal train for me the first couple months. And oh my goodness, that, I don't know, poor Charlie would have really been nuts if he had to try to do everything, cook and everything like that. So, yeah.
And your Thanksgiving plans, this show airs just a few days after Thanksgiving, but I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
Yes, actually, my children, we have three of our children live in Pennsylvania. Two of them live about an hour from us. And the other one lives about 3 hours from us. But the two kids that are closest are, they said, Mom, how about if you and Dad put the turkey in the oven and we'll bring everything else? And I'm like, that's awesome. Because a lot of times we go to somebody's house or whatever. So having them to my house and all my little chicks around that are close, I'm very excited about that. So it'll be great.
And much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, yes, for yes. sure. Yes, yes, wonderful. We're talking with Mary Blythe, and Mary is the Director of Faith Formation at St. Agnes Parish in North Huntingdon Township. I thought she'd be the perfect guest for the Thanksgiving weekend because she has so much to be thankful for, surviving an accident in Indiana County earlier this year. And Mary, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. After the break, we're going to talk about an event that she is planning from home with the help of all of her coworkers that some of your families may be interested in attending. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Westmoreland Community Connections on Classic Hits 107.1 WHJB. If you have a suggestion for a topic, or if your nonprofit organization would like to be featured on this program, call us during regular business hours at 724-216-1200.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Today's guest is Mary Blythe. She is the Director of Faith Formation at St. Agnes Parish in North Huntingdon Township. Mary has been gracious enough to share with us in the first half of the show how she survived a horrific accident in Indiana County earlier this year. Much to be grateful for this Thanksgiving weekend, and we're certainly grateful to have her. She's planning a huge event from home. For the North Huntingdon community, open to everyone who would like to attend. And that is a breakfast with St. Nicholas coming up on December 3rd. So, Mary, how many years have you been doing this? And then tell us about how you've been doing this from home.
This is kind of an outgrowing about 5 years ago. 6 years ago, my pastor and I, we meet each week and we pray together about our parish community and about the broader community and how we can always be of service and reach out to them. And we just began to think more about bringing some of the things that we automatically do as Christians into a broader spectrum. And we were just looking at different things and happening in our community. Several places had breakfast with St. Nick. With breakfast with Santa Claus. And we said, well, you know what, let's do breakfast with St. Nick at our this continental breakfast, open up, introduce people to the original Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, and the whole idea of how that has developed. And of course, in Europe, it's still a very, very big feast and opportunity, and St. Nicholas is represented very highly. So I found a group out of Virginia that does all kinds of, it's called the St. Nick Center. They just have everything St. Nicholas, and it was wonderful. And then we started doing it. And like I said, this will be our fifth year and offering it to anyone in the community. And it's just to come in for those couple of hours in the morning. There's activities and crafts and one of the gentlemen of our parish offered to be St. Nicholas. And so we borrowed a costume actually from St. Paul's in Greensburg. They had one that they weren't using anymore. And our deacon at the time was told us and we borrowed it. And so our parishioner grew his beard to be St. Nicholas for our breakfast with St. Nick. And then, last year and this year, my husband stepped in.
I was going to say, I'm like, I think I know who that parishioner is, but it was, I see it started out with someone different.
Yes.
And then ended up being your husband, who was St. Nicholas. Then I'll have to make sure that I post on the WHJB Facebook page a picture of him because, he's great. He looks like the perfect St. Nicholas. He does a wonderful job. But I think people in the community need to understand how this is a big event. I mean, it's big. There are lots and lots of people there. You know, you park your car and you walk in and it's actually in, I think, four or five different rooms, right? I mean, there's like sections that you can actually tour and go through. So let's take one section at a time. Sure. You want to go ahead and start with one and tell us about it.
Okay. And this is our social hall or mm-hmm. our formation center. It's called Resurrection Hall. And that's why it is in a variety of different rooms. I've always wanted, besides the idea of reaching out to the community, to encourage the community to allow us to be a place where they can offer service. And by that, I should say, and that's the first room I'll start with. Our one room is, we encourage people, they can come. There is no cost, and absolutely, this is totally optional. But if they would like to help in some way this Christmas season, we partnered with Catholic Charities and their baby closet, because like everything else, you know, supporting moms, families in need. In that same room, we have a group called the Legion of Mary, and they have a book barrow, which simply means they have children's materials there that people, anybody can take a book. It's Christmas stories. It's just children's literature and things. And this year someone donated a bunch of Christmas DVDs to us. So they're going to be out on the table and the kids can pick one of those. Out of that room, the next room is our big room there. And in that room is where St. Nick is located. And St. Nick has his little chair, and he welcomes anybody to come talk to him, to have a picture taken with him. As they leave that little area is a little gift for them, and it's a little satchel this year that we put together. And in there is some symbols of St. Nicholas and candies, little treats for the kids that represent us.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And in that same room, there's three or four craft areas, we'll call it, and then one area that is cookie decorating. So we have cookies cut out in the shape of St. Nicholas, and we provide little packets of icing and sprinkles and chocolate chips for their eyes. And anyhow, kids can sit and can decorate their cookies, take them home with them, or they can eat them right there. There's three or four other areas within that larger room that are different little crafts, ornaments or little keepsake that the children can work on. We go across the hall in the next room. We have three more areas of little crafts and things and a face painting station this year. So,
you're rolling out the face paint now.
Yes, we are. There's a little bit, a new addition, Jennifer.
Don't tell me this. The kids will be all over it. Yeah.
So, and the great thing is all these stations are, manned by some of our confirmation students and their parents. And just generally young families of our parish that want to come and help. And then the final room is our continental breakfast. And again, all the food that is laid out, drinks, coffee, hot chocolate, water, we have tea, all kinds of breakfast foods. And those are all donated by our families as well in our faith formation program.
Isn't
so it really is. And then you can come and sit there and socialize a little bit or get up and walk around. The kids are within, parents can sit down and have their cup of coffee and something to eat while the kids run around and do the crafts or get their face painted this year or see St. Nick. So that's pretty much the whole area.
That sounds like a wonderful event. Now, Mary, for people who've not attended before, do you need to register? Do you need to pay to come to something like this? How does that work?
No, Jennifer, actually anyone can come. It's open from 9 to 11, about 11:30. I think some of our brochures said 11, but generally if anybody's in there around 11 o'clock, we'll stay open. But no, you don't have to register. You can just come and join us. And because of the different rooms and the different areas, there's no actual program. You can do any part of it for as long as you want or as little as you want, and just take your time and, just go through. There's no cost. Like I said, the only thing we make is optional. If someone would like to bring a donation that will be given to the baby closet with Catholic Charities, they're welcome to. But there's nobody standing at the door asking for your donation or anything like that. It really and truly is just an opportunity to come and participate. And I just often have had families say to me, how can I help my children begin to understand, for instance, especially around Christmas, the importance of giving,
And right. I believe last year, too, I can't remember, what if there's an opportunity to make cards for people? I think that was one of the crafts. And so that was a way that you could give. And I can't remember, where did those cards go?
Actually, we gave those cards to our homebound in our parish.
Oh, perfect.
And anybody, we put that out too. If anybody had anybody they would like a card sent to, as long as they gave us an address, we mailed those cards out to people we were specifically aware of in our parish as part of the ministry. But I had several people that called and said, hey, I think my, you know, my aunt, she's homebound, she would enjoy that. Great. Because everything, you know, we kind of ask the kids to draw pictures and say, you know, Merry Christmas and hope you have a wonderful time and that kind of thing. Just some positive notes. So they were very general. And yeah, that ended up being a nice thing too.
And I sure was. And I thought you did a wonderful job too with the cookie decorating, especially because we were sort of still in that COVID mix. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people were wearing masks, some people weren't, but everything was extremely sanitary how you did it. You had all the cookies prepackaged and it was very well done.
Yeah. Yeah. We tried very hard to be, you know, and again, even as we move forward, one of the things that we always talked about was being very aware of where everyone is in this journey, and especially in that journey of the pandemic. And our goal was to make things as, you know, I guess on one hand, as normal as what we used to do, but on the other hand, also in this new world, how would you feel comfortable? And yeah, we're doing the same thing this year.
That's fantastic. Now, let me ask you this too. Are you going to be at this event? Are you able to be there and participate?
Well, my hope and plan is to, yes, physically be there. For something like that right now, the wheelchair is probably a better option. Like I said, I can stand and use the walker, but walking too long or being up. But yeah, my hope is, because Charlie will be there. I will.
You mean St. Nicholas, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't give it away. But yeah, St. Nicholas will be there, and he's my ride, literally. Yeah,
but that's going
to
be fantastic.
Yeah, I plan to be there. And again, all of our helpers and volunteers, everybody will be wearing a hat, I hope. I always tell the kids to, some of them will, some of them won't. But yeah, anybody kind of wearing a hat and smiling, you can come and meet. And it's really a nice place to meet new people, too. That's the other thing that I because we try very hard to introduce people to other people, and especially our young families. You know, hey, do you know so-and-so or whatever? And so I can honestly tell you, not by all means, not everybody is from St. Agnes or even Irwin area. I've had people coming from other parts too, because they hear about it and they want to come. So
wonderful. Well, Mary Blythe is the Director of Faith Formation at St. Agnes Parish in North Huntingdon Township. Thank you for sharing your story of overcoming such a terrible accident. Thank you for talking with us on Thanksgiving weekend. And we look forward to hearing more about Breakfast with St. Nicholas coming up on December 3rd. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. 9 to 11.
9 to 11. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.
This has been Westmoreland Community Connections, a look at issues and happenings in and around Westmoreland County. Join us again next week on Classic Hits 107.1 WHJB.